Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Bling, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today. I'm so glad to have you with me. You can find me online at Glink is my Twitter handle. I have a Facebook fan page. I have over 100 followers on Instagram. It's very, very exciting. We have a great show for you. Getting a little bit of a late start, I'm afraid, but we'll make up for it, I promise. Terry Savage, who a good friend, and terrysavage.com, columnist at HuffPost, watcher of all things money, is joining us again. Terry, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Yes, everybody is watching the Fed. So glad to have you watching with us or for us. So let's talk a little bit about that. What are you expecting? There's so much news out there today that's just I want to ask you about. But let's start with the Fed since that's about to break at any moment. What are you expecting the Fed to come out with today?
I'm expecting absolutely nothing.
That's news.
Yes, at 1 o'clock our time, the Fed will come out of its open market committee meeting, and nobody is expecting that they will make a move to raise interest rates right now. On the side, though, that people are really watching about is what hints will they give in their statement about the possibility of raising rates in September. The factors in play here. Hey, our earnings are okay in corporate America. Yeah, Coke and McDonald's down, but Apple did better than expected. Home sales hit an 8-year high in June. Home prices are rising even faster than incomes. Consumer confidence is pretty steady. Today we had a bad durable goods order. That's airline orders. That's just something that jumps around from month to month. Brexit doesn't seem to be having too much of an impact. But in England, there's great sense that the central bank will cut interest rates there to keep Brexit from having an impact on their economy. The European Central Bank, it keeps printing money like crazy. Rates there are negative. And so it would be hard to imagine that the Fed could justify raising rates, which would bring more money back here. Everybody will be picking over is the wording in the statement, like, but we think in a couple of months things might be ready to raise rates. So the question is, not now, but September, question mark?
So it's interesting. We've also got, and you didn't really talk about this, but over in Latin America, eyes are all on the Olympics, which are just about starting. So the news there is how many people aren't going. I just saw that one of the delegations, I think Australia, refused to stay in the Olympic Village because it was a disaster area. There was an announcement from, I don't know if it was World Health Organization or Doctors Without Borders, please don't open your mouth if you happen to be anywhere near the water because you might die. How is Latin America and Brazil in particular affected by this kind of an event, which normally is thought to really raise the economic level for everybody, and there was so much expectation?
Yeah, well, it's not happening there, and thank goodness we didn't have the Olympics here is all I can say. Most of South America is in great financial trouble. Venezuela is circling the drain. Oil prices are down. That hurts Venezuela. It hurts Brazil a little bit. And Brazil's economy is in trouble anyway. So I'm shocked that the global press hasn't said more negative things. I'm shocked, frankly, that more U.S. athletes haven't come up with a reason to not go. It is the Olympics. This is the, you know, young athletes only get 1, 2, at the outside, 3 chances to go. But what's going on down in Latin America makes it a very problematic trip from a health perspective.
So
It is horrible.
And so from the Fed's point of view, when you look at Latin America, where things are quite disastrous, and I was just recently in Guatemala, and I have to say that given that it's on the State Department's list as a somewhat dangerous place to go, it felt very, very safe.
Oh, well, you know,
hang on, Terry.
People.
We need to do a quick.
Elise, I just
break.
Want to break in really quick. It appears that President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama have picked where the Obama Library will be in Chicago. It looks like they have chosen Jackson Park, which is just east of the University of Chicago, and a formal announcement will come next week.
Oh,
so it looks like Jackson Park will be the site.
Fantastic. Kim, thank you so much.
That's a great break-in. Terry, we're going to take a quick break and do some traffic, and we'll come back and get it right back into this since it's already 12:17. Elise Klink, filling in for Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch. So glad to have you along for the ride today. At Glink, if you've got a comment or question for me, or questions at thinklink.com, that works too. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram. I promise I'm going to put up another photo, maybe even one from today. It is 12:21. We're on the phone with Terry Savage, terrysavage.com, or she's got a new Huffington Post column out for her on Terry Savage, nationally recognized expert on personal finance. Terry, I'm sorry, we got a little interrupted there.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a commentator on the Olympics. It's going to be a tricky thing. But I'd much rather give you this headline news. You know, the Tribune syndicates my column now all over the country. And so I get an incredible amount of postings on my Ask Terry blog. And I think this headline is just the most astounding. Last week, S&P Dow Jones indexes, you know, they're all part of the same company now. They yep. released a report. This is a headline. Over the past 5 years, 76.2% of retail mutual fund managers in the large cap space, the big companies, underperformed their benchmark, the S&P 500 stock index.
Wow, that's a huge number.
Institutional fund managers underperform. It's astounding. You are paying for professional money management in your mutual funds, but most of them, three quarters of them, didn't even do as well as the index. That has been my longtime argument for buying index funds.
Love that. And I'm a big, huge fan of index mutual funds as well. And in fact, we have our company 401k with Vanguard, the granddaddy of index mutual funds.
Exactly. And every 401k plan, unless it's, you know, a small company plan with high fees and charges, which you should be complaining to your boss about, I would have to say that in most company 401k plans, 403b plans, there is something called the S&P 500 index. People stress out about which fund should I pick, or they go, I don't know, and they'll let someone else pick them for them. Basically, while you're in the accumulation stage, well into your 50s, you need to be making that regular contribution to the S&P 500 index fund and not paying to try and beat the market, because statistics tell you that that doesn't work. Just be the market. Over the long run, the market's had a terrific return. In fact, there's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in that S&P 500-type fund, even adjusted for inflation, as long as dividends were reinvested and it was in a tax-sheltered retirement plan.
Which is really most of the way that any of us are now trying to save for retirement. Now, when I talk to people, I always, and they say to me, well, how much do I need to save for retirement? I always say, try to put away 10 to 15% of what you're earning into one of those.
The answer is everyone should try and double what they're currently saving, because you're only saving half of what you need to. I mean, I can say that as a blanket. Now, every once in a while, someone will send me an email saying, I'm 37 years old, my mortgage is paid off, I have a 529 account for my two kids, what else can I do? And I think, oh my goodness, aren't you amazing? I want to know more about you. But the fact is that we, you know, it's a culture that's only started in the last 20, 25 years, and people don't have any idea of how important it is to start early, number one, because time does all the work. Number two is to be consistent. Don't get scared out of your plan. Just keep putting the money in there. And number three, to realize it's never too late. But the more you save, the better off you'll be. The Social Security is just not going to do it for you. Most, and unfortunately, it does it for way too, two-thirds of America's current retirees rely on Social Security for the vast majority of their income.
Well, think about that. I mean, the most you get right now today from Social Security, if you put in the maximum amount over the 35 years or whatever it is that they're measuring, the most that you can get is somewhere around $3,000, maybe $3,200 a month. So while $36,000 a year sounds like a lot of money, it doesn't really go very far.
That's the most important thing. I mean, the fact is that there are a lot of people trying to live on that. And it's really tough because the cost of everything that seniors pay for seems to be going up more than consumer prices, which aren't, the Fed notices, aren't going up at all. So if people don't get a very big, if any, and for years didn't get any Social Security cost of living increases. But the things that happen to seniors, such as medical care in particular, and the cost of needing additional long-term custodial care, those are the kinds of costs that keep rising.
Well, and we're also living a whole lot longer. I mean, it's likely, very likely, exactly. You live to be, if you're 65, it's likely you're going to live to be 85. And it's likely women are going to live longer than men. And so if you live to be 70, you might live to be in your 90s. I mean, we're talking about.
For you.
Yeah.
So once you're 65 and you're a woman, the likelihood is great that you'll live to be 89. Maybe we rule out all those things that happen to younger people, like car accidents and things like that. But
right.
Once you get to be in your late 60s, you have maybe a 20-year time horizon. That's good news and bad news. Look, I don't mean to depress people. I want to go back to the investment side of it. Those of you who are recognizing that, A, you're living longer and you wish you had saved more, do me one favor. Go to terrysavage.com. Go click on the top article called Beat the Market and print it out or email it, because you can do that through the HuffPost, which is my archive, to somebody in their 20s. Let them know that if only they would start now, they don't have to stress out over beating the market. I mean, if you want to go pick stocks, that's fine. Treat that as your side money. But make a good start at getting a regular amount put away for retirement. I know that our 20-somethings and 30-somethings aren't the audience for the new business hour, but each
but their children are, and their grandchildren are.
Exactly. Your children and your grandchildren are. Get them started now. That's the greatest gift you can give them.
It is great. Terry Savage, so great to talk to you again. You and I are still overdue for lunch, and I'm going to call you for that for sure.
Next time.
Okay. Have a great afternoon. It is 12:28 on WGN Radio, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hey, it's 12:37 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink. I am sitting in for Steve Bertrand. I'll be here, by the way, tomorrow and Friday as well. So we'll be finding some time, I think, to take your questions and calls, or you can always text us, call or text, not 312-981-7200. And I'll take a look at those, or you can always go to questions@thinklink.com, and I'll see those too. All right, Frank Sennett from Cranes joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Frank, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you. So you've got a whole, there's so much news. And in fact, we just heard from Kim Gordon that the Obama Library has been selected, the location for it. So even more news on top of all of your news.
It's a big news day. That's right.
It is a big news day. So where do you want to start? Do you want to take a look at what's going on with McDonald's? There's so many things to talk about.
Sure. You know, McDonald's just released its second quarter results, and that's a big headline because it's a little slower than expected over at the Golden Arches.
Are people tired of breakfast now all the time? They want like a different meal?
That's right. They had a big hit on their hands with all-day breakfast, and they really were seeing big increases in same-store sales, 4% in the third quarter last year, 5% in the fourth, and more than 6% in the first quarter of this year. And it looks like maybe they've, you know, wrung all the juice they can out of all-day breakfast, because the same-store sales in the key U.S. market were up just 1.8% in the second quarter, and Wall Street had expected a little more than 3%. And then overall, the same-store sales were up 3.1%, and the target there was 3.6, so not off quite as much there. But, yeah, there is that thought of, like, what's the next big hit?
I wonder if it should be, since it's summer, ice cream all day, ice cream for breakfast.
Oh, I like that. I think my kids would love that, too.
I know that I would like one right now, for sure. All right, so McDonald's disappointed just a little bit. How do you think the move into the city of Chicago from Oak Brook, where they've been for so many years, how do you think that's going to affect earnings going forward? Have they talked about a charge, a possible charge for that move? Or
yeah, they're going to take an expense hit, you know, one time with the moving costs. As I think everybody knows, who's been around the loop the last few days, Oprah's Harpo Studios being torn down as we speak.
That's so sad. I wrote about that. I just have to break in and just say I wrote about that for the Chicago Tribune when they were putting it up. And I went for a tour and we were talking about it. And do you remember how the West Loop was such –
You didn't even want to walk there. Even in the daylight, it was just a kind of a drecky place 30 years ago.
Oprah did, you know, forge a path over there that then really caught fire, I think, for
it,
sure.
It just,
and Wishbone Restaurant was there.
Oh, yeah.
Very few places, as you said.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing. And now Oprah's studio getting torn down, and they're going to put up this, I think, a pretty significantly sized building, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a large facility for McDonald's moving out of Oak Brook. And, you know, looking beyond those kind of one-time charges, I think they're probably looking for their next hit is to reintroduce some kind of value menu. They killed that dollar menu. They've had kind of a, you know, few things here and there that are low-priced items, but maybe a revamped low-cost menu will help ignite their sales again.
Do you think, Frank, and this is just pure speculation, but I wonder if we've educated the population, we meaning not me, but if the sort of the foodies of the world have educated the population to the place where fast food really has to be something above and beyond, like Shake Shack, which is fast food, but it's kind of elevated fast food, the way I think about it.
Where fast casual market that you're talking about.
Exactly. Sure. And we kind of saw it with Chipotle, right? Or, you know, not organic meats, but they have, like, hormone-free meats, supposedly, and they've got, mm-hmm. you know, the fresh ingredients and kind of design it yourself, whereas mm-hmm. McDonald's was really all about manufacturing hamburgers.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, McDonald's is taking a look at some of its concept stores at, you know, giving you more choices on toppings for the burger, et cetera. But, yeah, I mean, they're not ever going to be probably the fast casual in the sense that a Shake Shack is. So they're just trying to find, you know, that value niche, people who, you know, need their Mickey D's fix. But yeah, the trend definitely seems to be that fast casual is taking a lot of market share.
Yeah, it is. All right, well, let's shift a little bit over to home prices. We had some home numbers this week anyway where new home sales actually zoomed quite a bit from where they were. I think we're sort of at an annualized rate of new home sales at a little bit under 600,000. We should still, to remind everybody, be at a million a year. We're at a little under 600,000. But what an improvement from a few years ago when we were at 300,000. Chicago benefits from that. And then we've also seen home prices, which I think there was a big report from Dennis Rodkin this week. Chicago area home prices are growing. What have you got for us there?
That's right. Home prices for single-family homes were up 3.7% in May from a year earlier, and that was the largest year-over-year increase in Chicago prices since July of 2014. So it's been almost 2 years since we've seen sales price growth of this magnitude. Now, putting that in context, home prices were up 5% nationwide in May, so we're still lagging the nation. We moved up a few notches in the top 20 cities list. Three cities were below us, Cleveland, Washington, and New York. But we're still, you know, the slowpokes coming out of the downturn. It's looking pretty good, though, overall.
You know, it's interesting. I'm noticing on the North Shore that, and when I drive around in some of the, you know, sort of upscale neighborhoods, I'm seeing more for sale signs, and I'm hearing from realtors that there's been a real slowdown in the kind of, you know, almost a million to maybe $2 million price range where people just aren't getting, they aren't getting any looks. In fact, I just got a mailer for another home priced around $1.3 million in the North Shore that I saw in the market like a year ago for the same price. It hasn't, it's not like it sold and now they're reselling it. It hasn't sold yet. What are you hearing from people, or what are your reporters reporting about the slowdown in kind of the upper end? And I won't even say upper end because now we're selling $8 million condos raw space, but in kind of that upper end of the market.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that you're seeing is all these businesses moving downtown, out of the suburbs. There's a lot more demand, it seems, for a lot of the luxury apartments, condos in the Loop, and there's a lot more being built. And there has been some, you know, downward pressure on those, you know, like you say, they're not the $8 million homes or the mega rich, but those pretty spendy suburban places in the, you know, $1 to $3 million range.
Yeah, and it's just amazing to me that we're calling that not even the range of the super rich anymore. But okay, I'll just set that aside. You had another story I thought was fantastic, and I always like to end in an up note. Amazon is hiring hundreds of people for its new Romeoville warehouse. That's a great story.
Yeah, so we have seen that Amazon has been building some smaller facilities in the city on Goose Island on the south side to get those quick deliveries happening in the city. But this is a mainline, large-scale warehouse. You know, because we're such a transportation hub, which kind of underscores the importance of us being so important in transit, both in location and in the robust rail traffic that we have and airline traffic. There's going to be a 750,000 square foot new warehouse in Romeoville along Interstate 55, and it's going to, as you say, employ hundreds of people. And that goes along with plans for a second large center in Joliet that was previously announced. The neighboring warehouses there will have a total of about 3,500 workers, with several hundred more in Romeoville. So, you know, they may not be the executive jobs that make the headlines, but these are, you know, a lot of jobs being added in the Chicago area by Amazon.
And we also saw them, I think, add something around the Wisconsin border as well, or maybe just over the Wisconsin border in Racine, I want to say. They did another facility up there. And so they're really, interestingly, you know, dotting the area. And it's good jobs. It's nice to have them,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And they list their October 1 date for the move into Romeoville. So that's coming up this calendar year.
Which is really exciting. Frank, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Check it out at chicagobusiness.com.
Absolutely. Frank Sennett is with Crane Chicago Business, chicagobusiness.com, and his segment is sponsored by Allstate. This is Elise Glink. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm sitting in this week for Steve Bertrand, so I'll be here tomorrow and Friday as well. It is 12:53, and I did not fly in a B-17 bomber this weekend. So I will not be talking about that, but boy, am I going to tune in to hear what Orion has to say about that. At Glink or on Twitter or Facebook page, you can find me there, or questions at thinklink.com or bestmoneymoves.com. My good friend John Wasik joins us on the phone right now. John is the author of more books than I've written, including The Debt-Free Degree and Lightning Strikes. He is also a contributor to the New York Times, CBS, Money Watch, like I am, and Forbes. John, welcome to WGN.
Well, thanks for having me back, Elise.
It's very nice to chat with you today. So tell us about your new book, since my second son now is going to school, The Debt-Free Degree.
Well, parents are really perplexed about getting into debt for college. There's some 43 million Americans paying college debt, and it's $1.3 trillion. The second largest consumer debt behind mortgages. So when my daughter was going to college last year, I said, you know, how can we avoid getting into debt? And it resulted in a whole book and ways to help parents save tens of thousands of dollars.
Did you co-write it with her? Did you put her name on the cover?
No.
Really?
She didn't want to have her name on the cover.
Well, you know, you and I both have kids that are around the same ages, and the cost of colleges is just astonishing. And when my son was looking at the University of Illinois, in-state school for his chosen area, which was engineering, and the price point came back at $35,000 a year, I thought, wow, that's in-state tuition. And that's still a lot.
It's gone up quite a bit, mostly because state subsidies to public colleges have dropped dramatically in recent years, and they've had to raise tuitions because it's still pretty expensive to run a school.
What are some of the things that you recommend in the debt-free degree that you think would help people who are starting to face this? Because, you know, all the kids are now starting to pack up and get their stuff ready and get ready to go off to school. And many colleges are starting mid-August, or for new freshmen, they're starting even, you know, second week of August. What are some of the strategies that you help parents with or suggest?
Well, for kids going to school, I think the most important thing is to keep them on a budget. Look at the meal plan. Ask them, you know, what kind of out-of-pocket expenses are you going to have? And then link a debit card that you can control. Put the money in when necessary. And if they go over, you can talk about it. I advise against giving them credit cards, although a lot of parents do. But if you are going to give them a credit card, make sure that there's some limit on their monthly spending, and that really involves, you know, mutual discussion of a budget.
You know, so one of the things that I always recommend to parents and that we do with our own credit cards, and Sam, my husband Sam, as you know him, of course, set this up initially for security, but it was such a really good idea that any time there's a charge over a certain amount or we've reached a certain level in the spending of the credit card, he gets an email and it's instantaneous. You know, he'll call me up and say, oh, I saw you were at lunch, or, oh, are you buying me a birthday present? So sometimes it's a little annoying, but mostly it's a great way. And so for the kids who do have credit cards that we've given them, they understand that we instantly see every single thing they're spending. And it's kind of an it's kind of a great way to open up a conversation.
Well, it's a good thing to do. You know, now you can monitor credit card accounts online. You can monitor them on your phone. So it's really good to keep track of this stuff. Otherwise, you just kind of lose track of what's being put on the card.
Where would you say that, you know, when you were planning this all out with your daughter, where were some places that you looked for money or assistance, or that you think that other parents might be able to think about? Because we're a little bit late now for FAFSA, and that money is pretty much all doled out. But if you find yourself coming up short, what should you do?
Well, here's the main principle. You don't have to go into debt. It's not a given. There's plenty of schools that have huge endowments. I would seek them out first. And typically, they're the top 100 colleges in the country. If your child has good grades, pretty good academic record, chances are they will get some money. Most of the kids going to those schools get pretty generous financial aid, and some get full boats. But you have to kind of identify them. And another thing that a lot of people don't keep in mind is that there's tremendous competition among public colleges. And talking to parents, they were telling me, hey, you know, all of these non-Illinois colleges are really competing for my kid, and they're willing to offer even in-state tuition. And with Illinois' prices going up, it's very competitive, and I know a couple of families have gotten some very good deals.
So it's for anybody who's got a senior who's going to be a senior in high school, this is phenomenal advice. John, where can we find your book?
Debt-Free Degree is on Amazon. It's an e-book. You can download it. It's very inexpensive. It's less than $4. Anybody can get a hold of it, and there's lots of advice in it.
And your website is johnwasick.com?
.net.
johnwasick.net, W-A-S-I-K. John, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Elise.
Chat with you soon.
Take care.
It's 12:59 on WGN Radio.